Right now on Diverse Cardiff, we're joined by our second guest. We've got Jeff Norman here, who's our Modern Slavery and Human Trafficking Specialist Advisor. So thank you very much, Jeff, for coming in this afternoon.
Thanks very much for having me here.
No problem at all. So you're a Modern Slavery and Human Trafficking Specialist Advisor. It's a good title. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how that's come about?
Yeah, I retired from South Wales Police last October after 30 plus years. And the last few years of my service was dealt with or involved dealing with human trafficking and slavery issues. Very lucky at the time that the Welsh Assembly government had a big push in making Wales hostile to slavery, which is the strap line that they used, pushing the agenda very, very hard and literally spending a lot of time working with other organisations collaboratively to make sure that the victims of slavery or human trafficking are properly protected and identified. And one of the major issues we have is actually raising people's awareness to the fact that it does go on here. You know, it's in every community, in every country of the world. There are misconceptions out there about this is something that happens elsewhere. Well, hey, guess what? It's happening here, and it's happening now. And again, there's strap lines I could talk to you about all afternoon, but one of the best ones is, it's out there. Open your eyes to human trafficking. So what I'm about primarily now, having got the bug for this issue, which I'm very passionate about, is raising people's awareness to it so that ultimately we can identify and better protect and rehabilitate victims of slavery and human trafficking.
There was an advert about human trafficking as well, wasn't there? There was like a woman looking through a bedroom window, looking like she was trapped, or the people saying look for some signs of people looking like they're isolated or lonely or sad, those things.
I'm sure people will know that earlier this year, March, the Modern Slavery Act hit the statute books, and that was accompanied by a strong marketing campaign by the government to say, hey, yeah, we need to deal with this. It's an issue. It's alive. It's with us today. And the Modern Slavery Act has been brought in as a means to achieve those goals of identifying victims, supporting them, and prosecuting the offenders.
And the slavery can take in, it's men, women, it could be children as well. Is it right across the board?
You won't be surprised to know. I think that depending on the statistics you look at, nearly 60% of those victims are women and children. And it takes many forms. It's people are tricked and coerced into domestic servitude, into sexual exploitation, into labour exploitation, even organ donation, organ harvesting. And you know, I have to stress, this is an international issue. It's cross-border and it's happening everywhere, and you can't look at any country in isolation, because events in Wales are being impacted upon by events in every part of the world.
So is this as big as drug crime across the world then, like as international as that?
It's the second most lucrative criminal enterprise out there at the moment. Gosh. And it's quickly closing the gap on drug smuggling. And again, I say to people, think of it in these terms. Drugs being dealt with, people are dealing in drugs. They use that commodity and they sell it once, and that's gone. They've done that bit of business. Yeah. With a human being, they are the commodity in human trafficking. You're talking real people here, and that person can be sold, and they can be sold again and again and again. And it's a lucrative business.
And they don't have to be separate businesses either, because they could be slaves in the drug trade, surely.
Absolutely.
They can cross over those two things.
We've all heard of drug mules.
Yes.
You know, lots, very often, those are vulnerable people being exploited, and they are being trafficked for that very purpose.
Okay, so obviously this is a really big issue and one you are passionate about. I'm just kind of wonder where that's come from. Was this something you dealt with in your police work?
Yes, it was. The last few years of my service, I was involved with the Welsh Assembly government from a policing perspective in setting up structures and processes to deal with these issues. Went on to get involved in numerous investigations, and my career has been always steered towards the protection of vulnerable people. I was involved in a child protection team many years ago, and lo and behold, I sort of finished my career again focusing on the protection of vulnerable people, but this time in the field of slavery and human trafficking. And that's the real issue for me, the protection of vulnerable people.
Okay, so when retirement came around, was that kind of a good opportunity to go into this more then?
Well, I did make a promise that I'd give myself 6 months off and do absolutely nothing. Within about 6 weeks, I was bored.
Yeah.
So I thought, I got to get back into this. Kept in touch the whole time anyway. So I decided I'd set myself up in a bit of a business. So I've now got a consultancy company called Stop Slavery Today. Just providing advice to anybody who wants it, really. And that can be people in statutory organisations, police, etc. It can be non-governmental organisations. And providing advice to, for instance, immigration lawyers who may be, who may have clients who perhaps find themselves in a detention centre when in fact they're victims of trafficking.
Yes.
Okay, so you say it kind of goes on all around then, people need to open their eyes to it. How does it actually happen? Because yeah, it's in every community, but kind of where is it and how does it take place?
Well, it's all about the exploitation. People, because they realise it's such a lucrative business, they look for vulnerable people. So it could be people that they identify on the streets, homeless people. They might be made promises. If you do this for me, you'll have some money. Before you know it, you'll be able to afford a car, you'll be able to get yourself a proper job. Just get yourself on your feet, I will provide you with financial support. And people will go into that on the promise. They're vulnerable. You know, they are ripe for exploitation, which is the really sad thing, that these are vulnerable people being exploited. And they are made promises of all kinds of things that they will be able to do to better themselves, and lo and behold, they find themselves in slavery.
Yeah, that's right. They're giving people hope where they have none, and then that hope turns into horror, really, because that's what they're offering them, horror. But to them, it's hope. When you have nothing, you're clutching, aren't you? You're clutching at straws.
That's exactly right, and that's why people such as the homeless, such as those that are desperate for work, they'll be keen to get involved because they see it as a way out of their current situation. And people see that. Mm. And people can see the worth in actually grabbing those people and saying, I can do this for you.
So, Jeff, if anyone's just tuned in, can we kind of recap very quickly what we talked about in the first section?
No.
Yeah, I'm just about trying to raise people's awareness to the fact that human trafficking and slavery is out there. It's happening within our communities. It's not something that happens somewhere else. And we need to wake up to it now. Rather than leave it, be unprepared or unwilling to lift up that stone to actually see what's underneath it. We don't want to go back to the days of when the likes of child abuse, it was just too difficult an area to deal with. People didn't want to think it was going on within our communities. Well, we've only got to look back at what's happened now. You look at the places like Rotherham, Rochdale, all these legacy investigations are news now because people didn't deal with it in the way that it should have been dealt with all those years ago. So my plea is we need to identify these victims, support them, rehabilitate them, and prosecute the people that are making their lives a misery.
And also, if I can just say as well, that people who look like me and you, they're not necessarily people from abroad with darker skins. They're the indigenous population as well of Great Britain.
That's absolutely right. All walks, all shapes and sizes, all colours. Nobody's immune from this.
Yeah.
The only common denominator is they're vulnerable.
Yes.
And they're the people that we need to protect.
Okay, and you attended the anti-slavery conference this year as well. What was the kind of the focus of that?
Yeah. Again, I mean, Wales has been at the forefront of what's gone on in the UK for the last 4 years. I mentioned the Modern Slavery Act earlier. That led to the appointment of an independent commissioner, a gentleman by the name of Kevin Hyland, who is now the UK commissioner for modern slavery. Well, Wales has had its own commissioner since 2011, and the current incumbent is a fellow by the name of Stephen Chapman, really driven the agenda hard. So we've been in the forefront of all what's good in putting together structures to deal with these issues. And really, the UK Act, then the UK-wide Act, is building upon that.
We are quite lucky in Wales, actually. There seem to be lots of things we're a little bit ahead of, and these kind of fairly small issues compared to some of the other larger things. But we seem to have lots of little... there's always things going on extra in Wales that we seem to have. We seem to be quite lucky on that.
Yeah, it just goes to show that with a bit of little... And it is political will... Mm. That and funding, of course, which comes with that, focusing on issues that are identified as the real issues of the time, inroads can be made. and inroads are being made in Wales, and we are at the forefront of what's going on in the UK. There's no doubt about that, and that's good news. The Wales Conference a couple of months ago at the Swalex Stadium, that was attended by people from all over the country, because people are keen to come and see what's going on in Wales, how we've put together the structures that we have, what the processes look like, how do we actually support the victims, how do we rehabilitate them, and how we're working collaboratively with other organisations. And it was an excellent event, well attended, and very, very successful.
Okay, now it seems incredible to me that we need a modern slavery act in many ways. Do you think to pass a piece of legislation to say not to enslave people seems bizarre, but unfortunately it is needed. So why was that act put in place, and what does it do? How does it help?
Well, slavery was abolished over 150 years ago officially, but it's always been around, unfortunately. Again, it's just become one of those hidden crimes that people don't tend to deal with or don't want to deal with. What the Modern Slavery Act does is put in place policies and procedures, really. Number one, about victims. It is a victim-centred piece of legislation. Still a lot of work to be done on it, and still some guidelines to come from it. But primarily it's about identifying, protecting, and rehabilitating victims. And on the other hand, the other extreme of that, if you like, is obviously the prosecution of the people that are responsible for these horrible acts. So it's a really important piece of legislation. It's the first one of its kind in the world, specifically for modern slavery, and it's an exciting time to be involved in this agenda, because it is fast moving and it's actually doing a lot of good.
How successful are we at bringing the perpetrators to task?
We're not.
No.
And there are lots of reasons
it's like
for that.
Mafia, isn't it?
Well, it is. You know, very often these vulnerable people have been threatened with who knows what. Very often they are told that their families will suffer, that they go to the authorities. They've got that fear of authority anyway, and it's very, very difficult, you know, to go from being vulnerable, exploited, and then you expect them to stand up in a witness box and tell the court what's happened to them.
Yeah,
it's a very, very difficult process, which is where the collaborative work is so important, the multi-agency approach, so that the NGOs, the non-governmental organisations who are supporting these victims on a daily basis, face-to-face, can build that trust and can actually explain to them what the process would involve. So many, many, many more prosecutions need to take place.
Yeah.
And law enforcement needs to up its game. No question about that.
That's right.
Okay, so before we kind of get to your organisation's contact details and how people can get involved, I need to talk a little bit about the migration crisis going on in Europe and the Mediterranean at the moment.
Yeah, again, it's one of those things we could talk about all afternoon, but it really does make me wonder about us as the human race, when we're really castigating these people that are, okay, not all of them, some of them may be economic migrants, but I'm damn sure the vast majority of them are escaping war. They're escaping all kinds of atrocities in their own countries. And yes, they're coming to a safe, what they believe is a safe haven. Yet there will be economic migrants amongst that, I admit. But ultimately, they are vulnerable people. And if they're vulnerable people, they're ripe for exploitation. And if they're ripe for exploitation, they can end up in the hands of human traffickers. And you know, they are dying to get here. They are literally dying to get here. And I would argue all day long with anybody to say, why on earth would you risk your life on a Lilo on the Mediterranean Sea to get to a better life if you didn't have a really good reason to do it, and take your children with you very often.
Yes.
So, yes, migrants, but ultimate
benefits here. That's what everybody's saying. They just want the benefits.
These are vulnerable people,
yes,
just wanting a better life for them and their families.
Of course.
And who can blame them?
No, yeah, it's people coming from Somalia, Afghanistan, Eritrea, Iraq, you know, Libya. It's people coming from those places. You know, you can't deny that they're not being persecuted in some way, because that's what happens, unfortunately, in large cases in those countries.
That's absolutely right, and you've only got to look at the example of places like Lebanon, where they have something like a million refugees.
Yes, they're a massive camp, haven't they?
And last year the UK took in 50 odd thousand. It's non-comparable. You know, Europe is the richest continent on the planet. and it just needs to get its act together to provide a concerted response to it.
And I think it's about enlightening the Indigenous population here, because they're very much driven by a mindset of the scroungers are coming over, they're just saying that, they're trying to pull the wool, and they're really desensitised to the plight and to the stories of people. So they listen to, like, you know, propaganda, and then that becomes their lore and their mantra. So I think we need to be enlightening the nation.
Mm-hmm. You know, you saw the headlines yourself, I expect, a couple of months ago. It's all about this migrant issue and how it's impacted on people's holidays, because you've got Operation Stack on the M2 in the southeast because the Channel Tunnel's closed because of migrants trying to get
here. There's photos of people on Greek islands looking sad because the holidays are being ruined by migrants washing up on the beach. You know, there are dead bodies washing up and they're saying it's ruining their holiday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
We just need to see these people for what they are. Number one, they're people.
They're human beings.
They're our own flesh and blood.
Yeah.
And they're vulnerable, exploited people escaping atrocities.
Yeah.
Let's deal with them like that.
That's right.
Okay, so if anyone's been inspired by what Jeff's saying, they want to help out and get involved, how can they contact you?
Well, go to my website, www.stop-slavery.co.uk. Big presence on social media as well. You can get me on Twitter, which is @StopSlaveryUK. And I'm also on Facebook. Just search for Stop Slavery Today and you'll find me on there. I would also say there's lots of organisations locally who you could approach to offer your assistance and time to. Organisations such as Bowzo, such as Safer Wales. Please get on the internet, Human Trafficking Services in Cardiff. You'll be amazed.